Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley boys, Michael Sidgwick from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review SmackDown, but also Raw, NXT, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Sidgwick to look ahead to SmackDown tonight. Michael Hamlet enjoying a well-earned week off. And speaking of which, what a difference a week makes. They advertised, I think, absolutely nothing for last week's SmackDown, aside from it's the go-home show ahead of SummerSlam. Lots to look forward to tonight. SummerSlam fallout and the return, it seems, of both Becky Lynch and Brock Lesnar. Oh, we're spoilt.
Indeed. Isn't it incredible, Adam Wilborn, how when a company believes in the show it's about to present to you, you in turn believe in the show and believe it to hold potential to have development, to have an atmosphere, to have a sense of momentum and importance. If they give you a card and they say, you want to watch this, here's what it is. Isn't it better than the mystery box? And what's in the mystery box? Oh, it's Apollo Crews versus Shinsuke Nakamura again. You know what I mean? It's like... These are wrestling promotions. I say this constantly. And when they promote something, it is a hint to you that, oh, they believe that what they're promoting is going to be good. So, yeah, I'm generally quite excited for this. I don't like the John Cena versus Roman Reigns build at all. I'm sick of the Edge Lord bollocks. And that's all done with. There are other directions that are, one would think, finished. So what you're going to get tonight is new storyline directions, one would presume, big storyline returns. They've actually finally done something else with the Baron Corbin character, which I expect to be made canon, if you like, tonight. So yeah, it's going to be a show that isn't going to be your mundane WWE show. Monkey's paw curls, but before it does, let's run it down.
Yeah, it's appointment viewing. Like, I like SmackDown out of the three WWE shows the most in the week, and, you know... On occasion, I'll even stay up late on a Friday night to catch it live. More often than not, though, I'll just watch it first thing on a Saturday morning. But there is certainly temptation there to stay up and watch this for the returns of Becky and Brock. And just so much intrigue, because this isn't just Becky and Brock are back, which would be, you know, mammoth enough, but it's Becky and Brock are back, and they're different. All the reports this week are Becky Lynch asking to become this heel character. That's a tough sell for me, to be honest. But if anyone can pull something like that off, it's Becky Lynch, who, through sheer force of will, countered a heel turn that they tried to throw on her after SummerSlam a few years back. And babyface Brock Lesnar is something I haven't thought about in a long, long time. And obviously reactions to all of this from Bianca Belair, how on earth Sasha Banks plays into this whole title picture now. Because Bianca Belair got done dirty at SummerSlam. And more importantly than all that, Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman, where his allegiances sort of lie.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're starting with, the two returns?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, Becky Lynch. This is a strange one, right? We reviewed a lot of Raw in late 2019 and early 2020. Basically, if you want to be accurate and take off the rose-tinted glasses, Becky Lynch might just have been literally screwed as the man character by April 2019. after WrestleMania what it should do. She had this absolutely rubbish feud with Lacey Evans. Oof. Throughout which she just leaned heavily on this like sub McGregor persona, which is calling her a plank, and like her inflection was really great. And I'm thinking, I know you can't do much with Lacey Evans, who should not have been pushed in that role, and we know why she was. Not to be a dick, but the truth is the truth, to quote Matt Hardy. Never thought I'd do that on this podcast. After that, she was aligned with Seth Rollins, and they had zero chemistry because they did not want to work with one another at all.
No.
I can't even remember what she did at SummerSlam 2019, Becky Lynch. I know subsequent to that, she did a program with Sasha Banks, which helped restore her as a star because those matches were great. The Hell in a Cell match was great. There was like two stars in a feud, basically, and it helped enormously. Was it Natalya?
Yeah, it was Natalya.
I knew it. Well, obviously I didn't, but I remembered it.
Mm.
So to go from Lacey Evans to Natalya, Jesus Christ, like she just wasn't...
In a submission match as well.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
This is after the Rollins stuff as well. Like that was a nightmare period. Cooled her down considerably. The Sasha Banks thing helped, but as good as it was and as good as the matches were, I can't remember a single line exchanged in those promo battles. Nope. I can't remember a single angle. It wasn't particularly memorable. It was just two stars doing WWE stuff. So she didn't really... She hasn't been hot. Like, red hot, gets talked about hot, major star level hot since November 2019.
Mm.
I think a lot of people bargained with how bad the storytelling was ahead of WrestleMania, and people still liked her and knew that it was just WWE being WWE, not her not being a star. But then how far can you take that?
Mm.
Like, how far can you go to accept, oh, you know, we still like that character, but we don't like the book, but that's just WWE. At some point, and it happened over the spring and summer of 2019, people were like, oh, I don't have to bargain with this anymore, I'm just bored.
Yeah.
And then we buried her, you'll remember this, we did it together, like the Deal With It Shades meme, the ridiculous like get up where she was acting like rich and aloof and she was going to have the truck. They Vinced her. They Vinced her big at the start of 2020. I'm not convinced had...
It's Rocky and Rocky 3.
Exactly. We thought that was a story beat. I'm not convinced had she decided not to have a child or the pandemic didn't happen. Basically, if she was still in that company in the alternate timeline where there was no pandemic, she didn't have a child, she would have turned heel by SummerSlam anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that when someone, whether they are... If a heel gets injured... or has a hiatus for whatever reason. People miss them so much because they're a star, whether they're a heel or a babyface. They always get cheered. That's just what happens. When it doesn't happen, it's weird. Seth Rollins was going to get cheered once. I think it was 20... When was it? I don't know. He came back from an injury and he's just like, ah, I'm still going to be a heel. It's like,
when
what?
He pedigreed Roman Reigns after the AJ Styles match, I remember. Yeah,
absolutely.
And we were like, great, he's back. And then he came out and he's like, you people. And we're like, no.
Yeah. So just completely, like, you alter your plans. That's what you do. People miss stars and people like stars. So you present them as stars. So that's the problem. Even though Becky Lynch had cooled off considerably, she was becoming wildly obnoxious at points. People have had time to forget that and people have wanted her to return. And the feeling now has shifted of, oh, I want to cheer her again, even though she was doing my tits in March 2020. She's going to have to do a lot to get over as a heel. People like Bianca Belair. She got a massively great reaction at WrestleMania. But so much of her run has been in front of the Thunderdome that you can't gauge just how over she actually is. I can see fans not playing along. I don't think it's a bad idea to have a turn heel. She's really good at playing one. She hadn't played one for a long enough time. She wants to do it, so she'll have more conviction doing it. There's nothing worse than watching someone not play the role they want to play. She wants to do it. I just think that the weird mechanisms of the pandemic and the time taken for it to come back is going to scupper it and scupper it big.
I think...
You know what they should do? If they really want to turn a heel, they should simply position her as a babyface for a month.
Yes.
And then she'll turn heel. That's what they should have done. Yeah. And I'm not even joking.
I was... trying to defend what happened with Bianca Belair at SummerSlam. And I said, you've got till Friday. You've got this show, literally, for me, because I understood all the backlash to it of why have you given Bianca Belair this great run? And it's, you know, it does happen, you know, as in history. WrestleMania to SummerSlam is a good little title reign. It was the manner, of course, in the way that she lost in like 20 seconds. But, I will say the way that they did it in terms of actually watch it back, because we were all a bit like, what's just happened? She offers the handshake. And Becky just punches her in the throat, immediately hits her with a rock bottom or whatever it was. 1, 2, 3. Now, I know people went, well, I know that they maybe want to use this to make Becky a heel now. But we all know that's WWE going, yeah, beat her in 20 seconds or whatever. So the heat is on WWE. I think the only way you can maybe try and get this heel Becky Lynch over is somehow her take ownership of that. I don't know how exactly you do that, but maybe coming out, huge reaction, yay, we still like you. Don't do the you be... Well,
that's literally what I was about to say. That's what they do.
Yeah. But have Bianca come out and go, all right, I mean, you did kind of chin me, so let's have a rematch. And have her just go, no.
Something like that. I mean, I can't think of an idea because the usual idea, as we've just said, is you people really missed me and...
Marks.
Yeah, you marks. I mean, I don't know how you do it. There's no real motive from a character perspective. Maybe she could say something along the lines of, I've been at home for a long time. I need to make an impact. It's just some bollocks like that. The funniest thing about SummerSlam is that they've obviously had the idea to turn a heel, right? Before SummerSlam, because she's asked to do it. So she's come in and done a heel thing, which is refuse a handshake, blindside the opponent, squash the dreams of her and her fans. WWE's babyfaces are so bad that people thought, oh, that's not really a babyface maneuver. It didn't register.
No.
It didn't register as a heel turn because WWE has babyfaces with just the most obnoxious values ever. That is hilarious to me. I'm very interested in see how they do it tonight. I've got no real ideas personally because I think it's not a good one to begin with.
But with the characters they've got in this, not just Bianca and Becky, but Sasha in the wings, of course, who's meant to be in that match. Like, again, I say this all the time, and it was sort of exemplified by SummerSlam, that some of the parts not being as good. You have to actively try hard not to look from now till the end of the year and get Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks, and Becky Lynch. I mean, how do you know? You can't mess that up. You've got 4 months with a few pay-per-views in there in Saudi Arabia to do this.
Yes.
Honestly, you and I could do book this in a podcast from now till, arguably, to the Rumble, even to WrestleMania, yes, with these three, just with results. But they'll burn through it, and by November, they'll be going... But now they're all on the same team because they wear blue, sort of thing.
Yep.
But speaking of, you know, being unable to book baby faces, what on earth are they going to do with Brock Lesnar?
I don't know, but I think it's going to be class.
Yeah.
He is an absolute boy popper. I love knobhead heels in wrestling. And if he can keep that Royal Rumble 2020 energy, when he was like, Keith Lee was coming in, big boy. And he's like pretending to hug Shelton Benjamin. Like, big banter Brock is absolutely hilarious. The problem is that WWE looks at someone who's got a shred of like a funny vibe about them or comedic timing, and Vince just Vinces them.
Yeah.
But Brock's the alpha male who Brock's Vince, if you like. And if Brock is given material that he thinks is going to make him look like an asshole, he will simply not do it. He's got creative license. We know this. I think if Brock decides, I'm going to be a babyface and a fantastic one by being myself, like, this has got legs. And I'm not being funny. Like, really neat. Like, Roman Reigns, the best thing happening in wrestling, give me a break. The best thing that can possibly happen to his character at this stage is a note of fun, a bit of levity. Mm. And it's wild that that's coming from big banter Brock Lesnar, but it very much will. I'm expecting the end result of this to be pure copium when he squashes Roman in Saudi Arabia. But before we get to that, that's my big prediction.
Yeah.
How do you tell the story? I understand both men were once managed by Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman managed Brock Lesnar because in storyline, he couldn't be asked to sort out his own deals. He couldn't be asked to talk. He was a mercenary, and he just stood there while Paul Heyman sold his fights, arranged his fights, and then he fought. Like, they can't do any, oh, I miss you, Paul, or you've turned your back on me, Paul. Brock Lesnar wouldn't think like that. It would be so bad. So I don't know how they weave the Heyman element into it at all. I can't predict what they will do. I just have a hope and a prediction for what they won't do. They won't tell a story based on Brock Lesnar feeling rejected.
No.
By Paul Heyman having another client. It would not ring true for me at all. It would make Brock Lesnar look like not Brock Lesnar. Like, how do you see it? Because you probably care about this stuff more than me.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by this. And especially with having Paul Heyman, who, you know, is heavily featured in both men when they're champions, you know, careers. But having him front and center of just like this, in just stood between them, just looking back and forth, is going to be really enjoyable. And it's, and like you say, it's, there's a fascinating story to tell whether that ends in a squash in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, quite possibly. Or, I don't know, Extreme Rules, which is the next pay-per-view, Brock loses, and you think, well, that's just ruined everything. No, you just transition him over to Monday Night Raw, and then you have the dream match with Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
Away you go with him as WWE champion, in my opinion.
I will say one thing. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns was at various points, multiple, which is a huge indictment, the match nobody really wanted to see. It's a bit of a misnomer because a lot of people watch the segments and all the rest of it. It was hot or whatever, but like a lot of the people who really care about this stuff could not be arsed with it. They've done such a great job with the tribal chief, and which is overrated for me, but, you know, his individual performances have been great, that this match no longer feels remotely like the 2018 version of it. And it's not just because the alignments have been reversed. It goes deeper than that, and it deserves more credit than that.
And you can have, and I wouldn't wish this on them, I love them, you can have him chuck around the Usos quite a lot in the build to whatever comes next. I wouldn't be surprised if Paul Heyman no-shows SmackDown tonight, in storyline, of course, because he's just like, I'm sorry, I just can't deal with this. And then these two go head-to-head. Or you do the opposite. And literally, Paul Heyman's walking in, because obviously they've established in LTST that often Paul Heyman's there going, no, Roman's showing up later on, don't worry. Paul Heyman's there, and Brock goes, Paul! Big hug. You see it from over Brock's shoulder to see Paul Heyman's face. I'd do something with that. Look, all I'd say to WWE is just pace yourselves. You do not need to have, like you did it, they did it well at SummerSlam. He comes in, Roman goes, I don't want any of this right now. He leaves, Paul Heyman literally yells, no, 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 no. So just elevate it step by step, week by week. I maybe wouldn't have Roman and Brock touch until the next pay-per-view, if you can help it. But there's two pillars of characters here. And again, I'll say it again, you have to actively try hard to screw this up. But that's definitely in WWE's wheelhouse.
Oh, Christ, absolutely, yeah. They could do some fun stuff with Brock Lesnar tormenting Heyman.
Mm.
As you've just mentioned, like, insincerely just thinking he's the advocate for him still, even though he's not. And Brock Lesnar has been a bit of a mischievous sadist. So you know what? I walk it back. Like, there probably is scope to tell a story with Paul Heyman here. Just don't do it like, oh, you betrayed me, Paul. And none of that, none of that bollocks. Just do it in Brock Lesnar's character, in his way.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Right, let's talk about some more fallout from SummerSlam, because of course, I mentioned them just before then. The Usos retain the SmackDown tag titles against the Mysterios. Is it... I know, I keep saying this every week, and people will know on the stream, we were there, me, Andy, and Phil, and I was like, it's coming, one, two, three, yeah, Ray, you prick, you thought you could do it all by yourself, didn't you? And then there's the Usos celebrating, and Dom's helping his dad out of the ring. Fade to black, move on to the next thing. Oh, okay, nothing's happening then. But reports are saying that they've finally been listening to this podcast and they are going to eventually do this. I think just get on with it now with the split between Dom and Ray. And I mean, they're just going to be so heavy-handed with all this. It was really subtle the way that me and Hamlet have been enjoying it. And it feels like now they're going to be like, dead, all that bollocks, basically.
Well, the report was, Dave Meltzer reported that WWE is fantastically keen on doing this storyline. Rey Mysterio decidedly is not.
Probably because he knows, as you said, and as many people have said, cool, yeah, so, yeah, Dom turns on his dad, yeah. And then he has a really violent match with his dad, yeah. Cool, what after that for Dom? Rey will be fine.
Yeah.
He's Rey Mysterio. Dominic Mysterio, grumpy son of Rey. What then? Like, now it's going to happen after that, is it?
Nah, but like, I hope they do it just, not because I'm interested in the storyline, but for pure schadenfreude reasons. Dominic Mysterio, and he's allowed to not be good, but if he's not that good, why is he on national television? That's the conundrum. He was a guy who last year didn't do that much to get sympathy for himself, so that's why, because he's not that great a performer, a personality. So if you remember, Seth Rollins beat the piss out of him with a kendo stick. And then Seth Rollins, in a really great performance at SummerSlam 2020, navigated him through a very long, dramatic feature pay-per-view match. And everyone thought, Christ, Dominic Mysterio is very, very good for his age. He's promising, he's got something. And then he's just become, he can't progress much in that system. It doesn't encourage style. It doesn't really encourage you to work against different people with different sort of approaches to pro wrestling, because there's one and it's Vince McMahon, so inevitably Dominic Mysterio has done very little. So fundamentally, the whole novelty factor of this guy's brand new, young, and he can go somehow, that's gone. Went last year. He's not a good performer. He's a bit of a charisma vacuum. He hasn't got any personality whatsoever. So I would like him to be given, for my own sadistic schadenfreude pleasure, the most weighty, melodramatic material possible, and watch him attempt to do it and fail. I'm sorry. It's not as if he's like 12. He's 24 years old.
Yeah.
He's older than Dante Martin. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like people go, oh, he's only a young Dominic. You shouldn't be harsh. It's like, well, should he be on telly? He's older than Dante Martin. Mm. And he's not very good, but you're going to have to learn. If you're going to be a WWE star like you want, and your dad has, you know, pulled some strings to be able to get for you, you're going to have to try and act, and you can't, and it's going to be funny. I don't need you anymore. Redux?
Yes, please. And we'll get to see the real star of the Mysterio family, Angie, back on telly. Get her back. I loved her at SummerSlam. What are you doing, Ange? You're not doing anything. Your son's getting his head kicked in. Your husband's handcuffed to the ropes. He just stood there. But anyway, yeah. I don't think I need another title match loss. They should have a number one contenders match in a week or two. You know, maybe tonight they go, oh, well, we lost. And then the duty dolls come in and go, oh, you crap.
I don't need to see that match again.
But that's what they're going to do.
Because it's the best show in wrestling right now. Suck my ass.
Or
suck my cack.
Or Otis murders. Basically, get back to Extreme Rules in another eye for an eye match, is what I'm saying. 1 year on.
Yeah, I know you like to watch young men get battered, but like that, the eye stuff, this is a bit much even for you, old boy.
Yeah, it is. Fair. Speaking of Extreme Rules, though, it seems, despite the fact it was a wonderful conclusion to a lovely story, reports seem to suggest Edge and Seth Rollins aren't done. I don't know why. That's what seems to be suggesting. I've written what next for Edge and Seth Rollins. I think you and I both agree don't do anything together anymore. But I feel like Seth's going to sit there and say, oh, well, I mean, he didn't steal one. Beat him clean. But let's have a stepped up match so we can do more stuff with a bit of a chair in your mouth.
So this program is... Why?
Why?
I'm
speaking the truth.
I just can't...
Like, they shouldn't.
Be honest.
Like, Edge should be drafted to Raw. Like, we know. We report literally on the news today, we're reporting that USA Network's like, why the Fox getting all the good stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm moving Brock and Edge over to Monday Night Raw, which should calm them down a little bit in the big draft. But yeah, I have no doubt. Look, the Brood stuff's good. Seth is really rediscovered his form, in my opinion, in terms of just winding people up and boiling a load of piss. But I don't need him to come out this week and just be a bit of a whiny bitch and campaign for another match against Edge. It was great, the match at SummerSlam. Arguably one of the matches of the night.
It was the best match of the night by far. I really enjoyed it.
But then they'll just go, oh, we'll have another match and then we can get him to Saudi Arabia. And why can't we just have, this is just a wider point from me, one match on pay-per-view and you go, and that's definitive.
It would just make everything matter more. It would make everything more interesting. It would force you to do better booking, because if you had a definitive end point and you were disciplined about it, it's like, right, that's it. The win and indeed the loss has to happen. It would cause you to think, right, okay, well, what does Seth Rollins do next? Does he chase after a title? Does he want to redeem himself? What does Edge do next? Does he get next to Roman Reigns again? Oh, Christ. Do Edge versus Seth Rollins instead. I'd rather that than putting Edge versus Roman again. I thought that match was rubbish.
Yeah, I think you can, you know, Edge is a big, big win for Edge. You don't have to go back and 50-50 it with Seth Rollins. There's a story to be told in the bigger picture of Edge gets this win. Obviously, Brock's next in line. And then I assume the draft, I don't know exactly the dates, but I assume the draft will be in and around, if not just, maybe just before the Saudi Arabia show. And that's great, of a story of Edge wins at SummerSlam. He does something with literally anyone in the meantime. Just another singles victory on pay-per-view, if you want, or just on TV. Oh, my God, he's next in line for Roman Reigns. He's been drafted. There's your story. Oh, I've done all this bloody work. I've gone up these rankings and I've been drafted.
There's no rankings.
I know, yes, but you know what I mean.
Just make it more like AEW. And then I would bury it for copying.
Yeah.
you can't win.
But, yeah, and the story arc of Seth Rollins' redemption, perhaps, because I want to see Roman Reigns. You know, like I was talking about on the news today, I said, you beat Brock, Survivor Series, maybe you run it back against Brock, because Brock's now WWE champion, if they're going to do bloody brand warfare. The Royal Rumble one was a question mark. I just said Big E because I was doing some shtick, which I'll get into in due course here. I don't want that to happen. I don't want him to beat Big E, but whatever. You could do Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns at the Rumble. Like, that's your end point now. And then you do The Rock, hopefully, versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania, if he hasn't been squashed, like you said, by Brock at Saudi Arabia, which will probably happen. There's your... Because basically, I'm looking at the big points. And then in the interim, you can have people like... Not to dismiss him, I love him. But people like a Cesaro, who you go, oh, maybe... No, not got a chance because it's Roman Reigns. That sort of thing. I don't want to see Edge versus Seth Rollins again, no matter how much they stip this up. But they probably will, because that seems...
It's Extreme Rules, and it's just a content company. Christ almighty.
Let's cheer me up by talking about someone who is going to be a future world champion. And it was the guy I actually pitched to take the title off Roman Reigns now. It's Rick Boogs. It's Rick bloody Boogs, because he had his first match on SmackDown last week. He teamed with Shinsuke Nakamura against Apollo Crews, of course, and Commander Aziz. And he looked sensational.
Let's cheer me up and go for an early lunch. It's 25 to 12. I mean, look, it's getting over. I was going to say he's not championship caliber as a character or as a performer, but what do championships mean in WWE right now? If the guy's getting reactions, and he is, and he's got really nice metal inflections that pop tits off, which he does.
It's a moveset that's related to what he does. You know, when some people go like, this is my gimmick, and then they get in the ring and you go, Sorry, that's just a generic wrestler moveset from 2K. He's got the
abdominal stretch.
Wow. And they're just, he's ridiculously strong, which will be very pleasing for the right people backstage as well. I thought he looked great last week.
Yeah, he looked canny last week. He's very much in the new mould. Not an indie guy. He's got a personality. I'm not saying that indie guys don't, but I'm trying to look at it from their, through their lens. He's on the Applebee's ad. He's got this daft gimmick. Gets a reaction. He's got like a great physique. Look, that's the thing. I prefer in WWE, Chad Gable. I would rather Boogs get pushed at the expense of a performer that I personally think is better and more enjoyable to watch, because I know that they'd prefer to push Boogs rather than Gable. I would rather watch John Morrison get a push on WWE TV than Ricochet, because it's more realistic. They like John Morrison. He's got this ridiculous raft of gimmicks with which to get over in front of Vince McMahon. Like, I would rather watch an authentic version of WWE, no matter how silly, no matter how worse the ring work would be, than this last 3 years of WWE, which is defined by them reluctantly getting these NXT lads up from bloody Tampa, Orlando, or wherever the frig it is, and going, I don't like the look of you.
Mm.
Like, I'd rather WWE became a sillier, more faithful to itself version of WWE. So, yes, let's get Boogs the Rocket. I'm with you.
I would sit here and say, give him a mid-card title, but it's kind of awkward because Shinsuke's got it right now. But down the line, I absolutely think he could easily be... I mean, like, Damian Priest and Rick Boogs as your mid-card champions is actually a breath of fresh air for this company. And also, nice to read, by the way, that Shinsuke Nakamura is just really happy in WWE right now. Just for once, nice to hear that someone's just like, no, I'm having a great time.
Yeah,
I'm pissing about with this bloke with a guitar. I'm the Intercontinental Champion. I get to surf all the time.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff, that. In worse news for WWE this week, Pat McAfee tested positive for COVID. Obviously, we wish him well in his recovery. If you've seen on his Twitter, it is just a fever dream of his.
Sounds horrible, man.
In terms of, because it's not just, oh, I've got COVID and I don't feel great. He's literally tracking like his temperature, and he writes numbers, and I go, is the human body capable of being all right with that? Awful to see. I can't stress this enough. Wear a mask. Get vaccinated if you haven't done so already, because here's a case study of what happens when it doesn't go right. And that's even when he has got vaccinated. So
he's a former high caliber athlete who is obviously dating back to last year, kept himself in really great nick. One would presume he's got a healthy lifestyle in order to like keep himself in that shape.
Never stops working.
He's a workaholic. He's got wealth, so that would allow him to eat nice food and, you know, like organic food or whatever. What I'm saying is he's got every advantage to beat this thing, except it's sometimes so arbitrary and random and cruel in who it really, really decides to mess up. Why take the risk?
Mm.
Get vaccinated. You're not a scientist.
So with all that in mind, with all of our best wishes to Pat McAfee in his recovery, there's a chair open for the next few weeks on SmackDown for commentary. Who should replace him for the time being, and why is it Wade Barrett?
Oh.
It's not going to be Wade Barrett. I'm going to be so disappointed. It's going to be King.
See, King? Now you've answered the question. What's the last bullet point?
Please, no. Like, oh no. The boys are back together. Great.
Every now and then, Vince, and it's happened really sporadically over the years, he'll go, where's Jerry Lawler? And it's like, oh, well, we got rid of him. Why? And then he gets Jerry Lawler back. And then Jerry Lawler says something incredibly problematic, like referring to a Japanese performer as like a noodle.
Mm.
And then he gets gone again. Oh, that's the problem with Jerry. Yeah, he's an arsehole. How did I forget? And then 6 months later, hey, I have Jerry Lawler. So you don't remember? No, get him back, and then you like you'll call someone a slag or something. It's like, right, okay, that's Jerry. That's just Jerry. He's an arsehole. So what I'm saying is, a long enough time has elapsed since he was last an arsehole.
Ugh.
People have forgot. Vince has forgot. So Jerry's back.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, it's going to be. I think Wade Barrett would be a brilliant addition, and it's one step closer to him getting back in the ring at the Royal Rumble. Hopefully, I can dream. Just let me dream. But it is going to be either King, Booker, or JBL. Whereas in reality, what would be really interesting, if it's not Wade Barrett, Paul Heyman. Oh, sorry, Brock, I can't talk. I'm on commentary.
That would be too creative for them.
Yeah. Okay, right, let's conclude with something that is really creative right now, and that's the Baron Corbin story. Arguably, I said this on the news, more interested in this than Brock and Becky, got to be honest. It's gone on a roller coaster. There was that weird bit when Hamlet stupidly dropped the name of Chris Kresge, and then John Cena came out and just was an arsehole towards Baron Corbin, and the story sort of went sideways, and then he nicked Big E's briefcase. That's done with. But if you've been following Baron Corbin, as I avidly have on Twitter, he's been in Las Vegas, where, of course, SummerSlam went down. And, well, he was having a great time. He was winning big. He was getting all of his wealth back. He was getting a car. You might have seen he was driving around. He was in the bloody presidential suite. And then a day or two ago, it all fell apart again. He's in some cash-only motel. He's got a new shirt. I noticed that. He's got a new white shirt. So don't put the same sodding stain on it, because otherwise that undercuts everything. But a lot of people are saying, is this the happy Corbin thing that we've all heard about? What do you think the latest twist in the Baron Corbin story is? Because, God damn it, it's making me interested in a guy I couldn't have cared less about 6 months ago.
You know what? They deserve a little bit of credit for how they've done this. People hated Corbin in the worst, least lucrative or, you know, optimal way. He was just a boring heel, and it was channel-changing heat. And what they've done is they've crafted the storyline where he's kind of turned more heel, which is quite an unusual way to do things, because, you know, wrestling, you usually turn face, heel, whatever. Through the storyline, they've made him more detestable, and he's become more charismatic and more entertaining. He's been confronted with losing all of his wealth and his money. And maybe the expected story beat would be, oh, he's going to learn that maybe he was an arsehole, and on some karmic level, he deserves this to happen to him. Nope. He's got his money back. He's just as rich. He hasn't learned a thing. He's just seen that it's horrendous to be poor, and, oh my God, I never want to be like that again. It's, you know, optics-wise, it's probably not great. It's a socialist. I'm a socialist. I don't know where I lean politically. All I know is that I hate wealth and the distribution of it. But that's good heat. That is good heat. And Baron Corbin, the contrast of his delivery has been quite great. I prefer him on these .com exclusives than on SmackDown. But the downbeat, deadpan, like, oh, like, he just looks like a man who's completely dejected. That's quite funny. And now the contrast is he's full of bloody life again. I think he literally starts calling himself Happy Corbin tonight.
I think, because it's all fallen to bits for him, there's a story to be told if they've actually thought about this, and they won't have. I just Googled it then because I was trying to work out where it is. I think it's in Jacksonville tonight. That'll be interesting. Of course, they're in Vegas. Last thing I saw on his Twitter, I've not, you know, looked this morning, for example, so maybe that's changed. He was in Vegas. Long old way to get to Vegas. Driving, 35 hours. Let's tell the story of him hitching a ride to try and get to SmackDown on time, because if he doesn't, he won't get his match bonus for Montez Ford or whatever it may be. I think there's a story there. But yeah, it goes so up and down. Where one week you're like, wow, what a great story it was last week. I want to see what happens this week. And then he just goes, snatch a briefcase. Yeah. And you're like, okay, you do know that's not, you can't just do that. So I'm going to hold my breath on this one. But there's definitely a story to be told of the again, redemption story. Or, like you say, he learns absolutely nothing and he's more of an arsehole because he can just win it. But he finds a bloody lottery ticket or something like that. But I like the fact that they are teasing another twist in this story. And, yeah, SmackDown, appointment viewing on a Friday night.
Not for me, Rampage is. But, you know, I'll be more inclined to watch this if I was a WWE fan.
And that's the nicest. When you paused then, I was like, careful. where was this sentence ending? But if you're a WWE fan, like I am, for my sins, I'm looking forward to tonight's show. But let us know your thoughts on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. But for now, this has been the SmackDown preview. My thanks to Michael Sidgwick. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.